Good morning, everyone. Let's go ahead and pray as we begin. Oh, righteous Father, we come before you this morning as your children to give you praise and to thank you for giving us your word, for giving us the word of life, your glorious Son, Jesus. And we ask in his name that as we look at your word this morning, that you would guide us by your Spirit into the truth. Show us what you have for us today and use your word to sanctify us, Lord, to give us a deeper affection for you and the word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am excited to be looking at this famous prayer of Jesus's this morning here in John 17. But I thought it would be a good idea to read the Lord's Prayer as we begin in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Matthew 6, verse 5 says this, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil." A few years ago, I wrote the song, Our Father. And by wrote, I mean I took the Bible's words and put it into song. But obviously, it's based off of Matthew 6 and some teaching that I received several years ago on prayer. The first verse is actually Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And then the chorus is straight scripture from the first half of the Lord's Prayer. And then the second verse is the second half of the Lord's Prayer, but it's not straight scripture. And I want to read it to you. It should be on the screen. Verse 2 goes like this. It says, "Heavenly Father, give us this day all that we need so that we can bring you glory. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debters, so that we can shine in all that, so that you can shine in all that we do. Father, won't you lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil." I wrote this song to remind myself to pray to that end, that whatever I pray for myself, that it would be so that God would get the glory, so that I would glorify God in all that I do. And this part of the prayer where we find ourselves praying for ourselves or praying for our church and friends and family, it should be directed at the desire to glorify God in the request. As we saw last week in John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, I'll go ahead and read it for you again. Jesus said this. He said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." When our requests line up with the will of the Father, Jesus says that he will give us what we request. When we abide in Christ, our desires fade and his desires take over. We can come to the Father in confidence. And John echoes this in 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. These aren't your notes, and I will give you a heads up. I made some changes after the outline was made. So there are a few verses we won't be reading, but please feel free to look them up. They will still apply. But 1 John 5, 13 through 15, John says this. He said, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, We know that we have the requests that we asked of him. So this is what I want us to have in the background of our minds as we look at John chapter 17. So if you haven't already, go ahead and take out your Bibles. Turn with me to John 17. The words of John 17 won't be on the screen, so be looking at your Bibles for that, but the rest of them will be. So the main idea for today is this. In his deep love, Jesus prays that his people would truly know God, be protected, sanctified, and united as one for the glory of the Father. Let's go ahead and read the first five verses from John 17. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given me authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given me. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. When Jesus had spoken these words, it says, these words, John is referencing all that has been said over the last few chapters and over this evening that he's had with his disciples. All that he has spoken to them over these chapters, he will echo in this prayer. And I want to notice the confidence that Jesus has in the Father as he begins. John says that Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven. And I just picture him standing there with his arms raised looking to the Father. Notice the similarity to the way he starts it with the Lord's Prayer as well. Father, it's a right way to come to the Lord. And he says, Father, the hour has come. The moment that all of creation has been waiting for since Genesis 3, verse 15 is upon us. The moment that the promised Messiah would defeat sin, defeat death, defeat Satan. Jesus says the hour has come. And he has referenced this hour throughout the book of John. This hour also marks the return of Jesus to the Father. At first, it may seem a little strange as we read this prayer with Matthew 6 in the background, because Jesus starts off by praying for himself. I think it's most important to point out the fact that when we start praying for ourselves, it's a lot different than when Jesus starts praying for himself, because Jesus is God. But look closely with me. He says, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Jesus' request for glory is because Jesus wants to glorify the Father. His glorification is going to bring glory to the Father. And this word glorify is often defined as to praise and worship, which is right. But I came across Professor John Hart's commentary, and he says glory means this. He says, glorified means to manifest or reveal or make known the splendid greatness of the Father. And another commentator said, to clothe in splendor. Father, make known the splendid greatness of your Son so that he can make known your splendid greatness. Jesus' holy desire is to magnify the Father. It's not a self-seeking prayer. Jesus has shown his disciples the love between a Father and the Son. These words should sound familiar to them because he has just said that to them earlier in the evening. Look at John 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. God is glorified when his children love one another. We are to love each other as the Father loves the Son, and as the Son loves the Father. This love is to be seen by the world, and the glorification of the Son will bring eternal life to God's people. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. Jesus says, "Since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus has been given all authority over flesh from the Father. He's cast demons out of bodies. He's healed diseases. He's cured blindness. He's resurrected the dead. And now, through his mighty work upcoming on the cross, he will be the giver of eternal life. The giver of eternal life to those that the Father has given him. All that the Father's is are also the Son's. And Jesus lays out exactly what eternal life is. He says that they know the Father, the only true God, and that they know the Son, the only true God. You see, we were spiritually dead, every single one of us. And Christ made us alive. He gave us life. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 7. Paul captures this so beautifully. It says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." If we stop there, it's so bleak. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Christ's coming, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, ushers in eternal life. And notice, to have eternal life, you must know God. We must know the Father. We must know Jesus. Believe in Christ and have faith. Know him. It's relational language. Abide in him. Love God. Love others. Make disciples. This is eternal life. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying you have to do those things to be saved. I'm saying they are a response to our salvation. Proclaim his name. Proclaim the message of salvation. Testify to the splendid greatness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember Revelations 12:11? The believers overcame Satan's accusation by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Look at 1 John 5, 9 through 12. John says this. He says, "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he is born concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has born concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Our testimony is based on our belief in the Son of God. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. He gave us eternal life in himself. And this work that Jesus is referencing in verses 4 and 5, this is it. Look at 4 and 5. He says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. All that Jesus has done leading up to this moment, and all that he will do soon at the cross, Jesus has brought glory to the Father in the accomplishment of this work. And so Jesus again asks to be glorified with the glory that he had before the world existed. And John gave us a glimpse of exactly what he's talking about at the beginning of this gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. He starts it off by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus brought glory. He brought glory to the world. He brings glory to God by coming into the world. He is the light. He shines in the darkness. He is the radiance of the glory of God, Hebrews says. Hebrews also says that he is our advocate, that he is our great high priest, who right now sits next to the Father, interceding on our behalf. And that's what he's doing here in John 17. He's doing the same thing that he's doing right now in heaven. He's interceding for us. And Jesus models this here. And then he shifts his prayer to his disciples. Jesus wants his disciples to be set apart in the world like Jesus is set apart in the world. Point number two, sanctify. All one word answers today. Sanctify. Look at verses 6 through 19. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in the truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. And these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world. Because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, yet as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Jesus says, I have manifested or revealed your name in verse 6. And later in verse 11, he says, Holy Father, keep them in your name. The name of God carries with it all authority, all power. And Jesus has revealed to his disciples the name of God. The name of God carries with it his attributes, his character, who he is. God's name is above every name. Look with me at Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Moses is talking to God in the burning bush. And then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. And then also, you may remember that Jesus claimed this very name for himself in John chapter 8. Let's look at that one. John 8, verses 53 through 59. The Pharisees ask, are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. And so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and yet you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And so they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Upon claiming the name I am, they knew exactly what he was saying. They knew that exactly what he was doing was claiming to be the only true God. There's this pretty crazy, amazing video by Pastor Alistair Begg. And he asks this question in the video. He says, if you were to die tonight, what would you say to get into heaven? And he goes on to say, if we answer this because I did this or because I did that, we have gone totally wrong. He says the only answer is because Jesus did this or did that. I won't recap the whole video, but it's worth a watch. But in the end, there's this funny back and forth between those in heaven and the thief on the cross getting into heaven. So finally, somebody asks the thief, on what basis are you here? And the thief looks at him and he says, I don't know, but the man at the middle cross said I could come. There is power in the name of Jesus. It is the name that is above every name. And Jesus goes on to explain what he has taught his disciples. He says, they know everything that you have given me. They know that everything that you give me is from you. And he says, I have given them your words, the words that you gave me. They received them, they understood them. Jesus' words are the Father's words. And you remember last week that the Spirit declares to the believers the words that he has heard from the Father and the Son. Jesus says, they have come to know the truth. The truth that Jesus is from the Father. That the Father sent the Son. And then in verse 9, Jesus says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the disciples. All mine are yours and yours are mine. I am glorified in them. And then he says in verse 11, I kept them in your name. The name is what kept them. Just like the Father, Jesus is in complete control. The Father and the Son are all powerful. The Father and the Son have all authority. If the disciples are in the Father's control, they're secure. If they're in the Son's control, they are secure. And the truth is, if you are God's, you are secure. Jesus is praying that the disciples would be one, that they would be of one mind, just as the Father and the Son are. Jesus prays the disciples would have unity that's as strong as the unity that the Father and the Son have. You see, Jesus will soon go to the Father, and the disciples will face persecution and death. They will be constantly under attack, and Jesus knows that they need to be strongly united together during that time. And so Jesus pleads, keep them in your name, Father. While I was here, I kept them in your name. And then verse 12, he says, I have guarded them. Not one of them was lost except for the son of destruction. He's referring to Judas. And John notes here that this was said to fulfill the scripture. Look with me at Psalm 41, verse 9. It says this, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Jesus continues to pray for the disciples. He prays for protection. Look with me at verses 13 through 15 again. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. The world hates them because they are not of this world. The disciples are found in Christ. Their identity is in him. And so, because of that, the world hates them. Jesus said, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but protect them. Protect them from the evil one. Hopefully you hear Matthew 6 again. And so in verse 16, Jesus repeats, they're not of the world just as he is not of the world. Jesus' desire is that they would be set apart like he is set apart. Verses 17 through 19. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Sanctify means to set apart. Sanctify them in the truth, Jesus prays. Your word is truth. We are sanctified by the word. And Jesus is sending his disciples into the world to proclaim the gospel. And later, all followers of Jesus will have the same mission. All the disciples, all the believers are sanctified. We are set apart for God's use in the kingdom. We are to make known the mighty name of Jesus. We are to make known all that he's done, to proclaim the cross of Christ. Jesus prays that his disciples would be protected and sanctified. But he doesn't stop there. He then moves to praying for all believers, all the future believers. Point number three, unify. Unify. Verses 20 through 26. I do not ask for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love in which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus asks the Father, on behalf of all future believers, those who will believe through the disciples' word, he says, Soon in Acts, we will see the disciples full of the Holy Spirit preach, and many, many come to believe. Many become followers of Christ through their word. And then later, they'll write the New Testament. And as the generations go on, many and many will come to follow Christ because of their word. Jesus prays a similar manner for the future believers as he did for the disciples. Father, may they be one. Lord, unite them together as one, as you and I are one. When they are one, Jesus says, the world will believe because of their unity. Love one another. The world will know that you are my followers if you love one another. Unity shows that we know Jesus, that we know that he is sent by the Father, and unity shows our love for God. Look at verse 24 again. It says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus prays that all those who the Father has given him would be with him. He's desiring that they will be in eternity with him, that they would see his glory. To see my glory that you have given me, he says. And then he makes this statement, you loved me before the foundation of the world. I hope that you'll notice that before anything was created, the Father loved the Son. And the Son loved the Father. There's this incredible book by author Michael Reeves called Delighting in the Trinity. And in this chapter titled, What Was God Doing Before Creation?, he remarks this. He says, the God Jesus reveals is first and foremost a Father. He says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And Reeves says, that is who God has revealed himself to be. Not first and foremost creator or ruler, but Father. And Reeves goes on to reference our verse here, John 17, 24. The Father, you loved me before the creation of the world. Reeves says, and this is God's reveal, this it, and that it is that God revealed by Jesus Christ that before he ever created, before he ever ruled the world, before anything else, our God was a Father loving his Son. And so Jesus finishes his prayer in 25 and verse 26. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus wants us to know. He wants us to know the Father. To know the love in which the Father loves the Son. Jesus wants us to know that the Father and the Son loves us. I hope you hear that. The God of the universe loves you. And John, in 1 John 3, 1 through 3, says this to assure us of it. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. This is our identity. If you are a Christian, you are his. You are a child of God. Trust that Jesus is actively going before the Father on your behalf. Right now, as we sit here looking at his word, Jesus is praying for you. He is pleading with the Father on your behalf. He is our great high priest. When we're weak, Jesus prays for us. When we're hurting, Jesus prays for us. Pray like Jesus prays. Pray for the Father's will to be done. Pray that God would be glorified in your life. Pray that he would sanctify you, that he will use you for his glory. Please pray for one another. Love one another. Pray for unity. Pray for one another that God would protect us from evil. Proclaim the cross of Christ. Proclaim it to yourself. Proclaim it to everybody you come into contact with. And remember, you are a child of God, and he loves you. Pray for the Father's name to be made holy. Pray for his kingdom to come. Pray for his will to be done. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as your people. Father, we are yours. We are your children, loved and redeemed through Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you for interceding for us. We ask that you would strengthen us in our weakness. Teach us to pray and to live for your will, not for ours. Be glorified in us. Lord, sanctify us and use us for your glory. Unite us in love. Help us to pray for one another and to walk in true unity. Protect us from the evil and keep us in your name. May we boldly proclaim the cross and remember always that we are your children and that we are loved. Father, may your name be holy. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.